plate a potential nugget.
Let's segue into the book Beginners, Tom. You know, before we get into the specifics of the book, give us a sense of how this whole thing came about. You went around learning 5 totally new skills: singing, surfing, drawing, juggling, and making a ring. Give us a sense of the origin of this whole experiment, shall we say.
Sure. I was basically in my mid-40s and had a daughter with my wife, obviously. But I was sort of, we were both later parents. And this whole experience was very, it sort of upset our lives. We had a lot of time and experience in not being parents. And suddenly we were parents. And so our own learning curve was accelerating greatly. And we were suddenly, you know, there's a lot you can sort of try to read up on ahead of time about how to be a parent, but a lot of it is just learning by the seat of the pants. So, but as part of this process, I then, you know, a parent then is entrusted to try to teach their child all these things, who in children are such natural, eager learners. One day I was with my daughter in a library and we were playing a game of checkers, and she saw a chessboard nearby. She's about 4 years old. And she said, "Can we play a game of chess?" And I said, you know, I would love to, but I actually don't know how to play. And this was, you know, an incredibly awkward thing to admit to your child, because you want to be the picture of authority and competence. But I'd probably learned the basic rules of chess a long time ago, but it had never stuck. I'd forgotten it. So I quickly tried to learn the game online, and I got to a certain point where I was, you know, sort of had gotten the basic rules down, but it's such a complex game that obviously, you know, after 5 moves, the cliche is that there, you know, there are more possible moves than there are atoms in the universe. It's an infinitely complex game. So I felt a little bit over my head. I decided to hire a coach to give her lessons. And then the coach came to the house, and I suddenly had this realization, why should I pay this person to teach my daughter this thing that I would also like to learn? And, you know, so rather than hide out in the other room, why don't I simply join the lesson? And he thought, well, this is a bit unorthodox. You have a 4-year-old beginner and a 46-year-old beginner, whatever I was. But you know, I was so struck by the experience that, number one, it was a very exciting and sort of gratifying thing to be engaging in this learning process with my daughter. And then the second thing, though, I sort of holding up the mirror to myself, I realized I was constantly telling her how important it was to learn as many things as possible and to just be open-minded and don't worry so much about, at your age, about whether you're actually good or how good you get. Just do it for the pleasure of it. And sort of looking at myself, I realized, you know, I'm giving this advice, but what was the last new sort of pursuit or skill I had actually tried to take up? So I was not being a particularly good role model. And that was just, you know, sort of an internal alarm went off that I felt this was a part of my character, personality, psyche that I was neglecting. I had focused on so much on a job that I really enjoyed, but to the exclusion of any other types of pleasures or even growth that might be out there via this thing that we might call hobbies or pursuits or skills or passions, or, you know, there's a variety of ways. So that was the basic genesis.
Got it. And you want to talk a little bit about how you picked these 5 things, 5 different things, Tom, off the various choices?
Sure. I mean, at first I thought, you know, well, maybe I should do these things that I keep hearing about that people should learn, like coding. And I thought, well, you know, I like computers. Coding is interesting to me, but that felt a little, you know, extrinsic to me, that I was sort of taking this lead from other people about what I should learn. And I thought, you know, what are the things I've actually, the sort of the secret list in my head of things I might have wanted to learn at some point. So I think this was an important part of the process for me, because this wasn't mandatory training for a job or something like that, or I wasn't, you know, there was no reason other than my own interest and pleasure to do these things, that I needed them to have sort of an element of enjoyment to them as much as other things, because, you know, that is an essential part of providing, I think, the necessary motivation to keep at these things, which may end up being frustrating to you or time consuming. So, I just had this sort of internal list I drew up, and the things were basically singing, surfing, drawing, juggling. And then I wanted a making component, making a thing, because I felt like a lot of people do, I think, in our sort of information age, that I was a little bit divorced from working with my hands in any measurable way, that I was simply on a computer all day pushing electrons around. And I thought it would be interesting to plunge in. So the thing I decided, though, was to, I had actually, in the process of learning to surf, I had lost 2 wedding rings because of the cold water, and my finger had shrunk and the ring had fallen off into the depths of the ocean. So I needed a wedding ring. I thought, well, perhaps I could make that ring. That would be the thing I would make. And so it was just a little kind of curriculum I had come up with on my own in a liberal arts fashion. I thought I'd covered a number of different bases, sort of a physical activity, an artistic activity, a pure sort of motor skills activity. And the only other criteria were you know, that they there were things I could learn close to my home in New York City at the time. I didn't have to travel to do, or nothing too exotic, and skills that wouldn't be too all-consuming, obviously, you know, like becoming a commercial airline pilot or something like that. That's a different sort of prospect. So on the flip side, though, I wanted them to be substantial skills, not the sort of skills that one might go to YouTube for over the course of a weekend to, you know, learn how to briefly fix a plumbing issue in one's home, or how to do something in the kitchen the right way. I mean, and there's nothing, those are, you know, that form of micro mastery, as it's been called, is very human thing to do. And we all do it a lot, I think. But those didn't have the narratives I was looking for, or the challenge, or the sort of lifelong aspect where I think the things I ended up choosing were all fairly open-ended. I could still be trying to improve singing 10 years from now and not be at the top of my game. So perhaps a bit too ambitious.
And did you give yourself a certain period of time? At the outset, did you say you would learn for X period of time, or was it reasonably open-ended when you kicked off this journey?
I thought maybe a year, but I think that was just, I was telling the publisher that to be convenient. Of course, what happened is I really sort of became enamored with the things I was doing, but I didn't really want to rush anything. And there are certainly ways you could sort of rush it more, but I really wanted to sort of savor the learning process at each stage, even the failures. And of course I was trying to do all these things at the same time. So, which often meant I was simply feeling guilty for neglecting one thing at the cost of another. But I felt I would know when I was ready to sort of start writing about it. So there was a strange period of research where I was just doing all of these things, which is different from a usual book project for me, but also talking to people along the way that I met and coaches as well. So
while Tom speaks about taking a break and pursuing these activities for a year, the challenge for most of us is how do we integrate some of these into our daily life and make space for it. My only realization in the last few years is that my appreciation for interconnectedness of things has gone up significantly. For instance, I go for guitar lessons on Sunday mornings. The way my guitar teacher helps me learn often gives me cues to the way I should give feedback and work with some of my clients. To give a very specific example, he would ask me to practice a set of chords. I'd be focused on landing the 4 fingers on the strings without being clumsy. When I would go and show it to him, he would actually find that my thumb is possibly in the wrong position, or my right hand, which is a strumming hand in my case, is not holding the pick in a certain way. The point being, the feedback would often come in my blind spot while I was busy doing something else. And very often this is exactly what I have to do with the people I work with. They might be busy with A, B, and C, but the real issue might be X or Y or Z. While the learning is happening in a certain field, I guess there's a meta-learning that's applicable across domains. The only anecdotal observation I have, at least in an Indian context, is that even when leaders pick hobbies, they pick ones that feed the head and often don't feed the heart or feed the soul with some form of art. whether it's drawing, painting, music, sculpture, pottery, or some other form of art. It's just worth thinking, are you doing enough to feed your heart? Back to what Tom says, it's worth having a liberal arts mindset in the way we craft our hobbies. I thought that was a very pithy but a powerful way of framing how we think about our passions and our hobbies.